Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that though we are weak, you are strong. Lord, we bring to you our city. Lord, we bring to you those that are still struggling with loved ones lost. And we think particularly at this time of year of all those many who lost loved ones in the tsunami those few years back. Lord, we think of all that's going on in Zimbabwe right now and Israel and Gaza and these places that we are so powerless, Lord. But yet in you we're not. For you are the God who's able, and we cry out to you now tonight, Lord, as you've done, as we're going to hear, as you've done for us marvelous things. God, would you in those situations, in individual lives, in governments, Lord, in the messiness of life, would you come and bring your power and your grace and your love and your comfort? So we cry out to you, Jesus, for you can. And we cry out to you, Lord, because we know these things matter to you, Lord, and we want to say they matter to us too, Lord. They're on our hearts as well. Lord, those not here tonight, loved by us, part of this fellowship, those that were here last week, many of them invited by us, God, we pray, be with them each one. Meet them at their point of need. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take your seats, and we're going to have a time now where we just hear some stories of people who've maybe seen God answer prayer or help them in some way. It might even be you've had a difficult time this year, but you've just seen God be with you through it. Maybe there's been a promise that he's given you that's just stuck with you. And there's a couple of points in our service tonight where we've got space for this. And both times, there's about three people already lined up who have got stories they want to share. But if you would like to also bring a story of something that God's done in answer to prayer, then I would love to just for there to be space for that in this service. So do keep it brief. That way there's a chance for more people to come. And what I'm going to suggest is that those who are going to share stories at this point, who want to come and kind of just be on this front row here. So that's kind of Chris and Anne and Wendy. Could you come up? And if Chris, you come first, and then Wendy and Anne, if you can come and share as well, that would be great. And if anyone else just thinks, yeah, you know what, I've got a story of something God's done and I'm not planning to do it later on. David doesn't, you know, I don't know that yet. And you just think, yeah, I would like to do it now. Then just come and sit with Anne and Wendy and as we just go through, just share your story of what's happened. So, Chris, over to you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Yeah. Should we encourage Chris and all the others who are going to come do it? It's just so you know, you're going to start. All you need to say is that and people are going to be rooting for you. So that's great.
Thank you. This time last year, I was working my penultimate shift. I'm a paramedic by profession, and I've been given an 18-month sabbatical, which started very early in January this year. I've been working for the church for that sabbatical. I've been working here, been managing a thing we call Time Team. Many of you know what that's about. I've been very privileged to see God at work in my own life, and in the lives of those around me, as I've led them, as I've tried to disciple them, as I've tried to encourage them. And I don't want this to sound like I'm some super guy, because I'm really just an ordinary paramedic who is just, you know, bad moods and other things sometimes. But even guys like me get to see God at work. And it's fantastic. It's a fantastic privilege. I can't believe that I've been given this opportunity. I still wake up sometimes and think, this is fantastic. I'm excited about what is going to happen for the next 10 months. But there's just one thing that I really, as I've been asked to come and prepare, that I've thought about a little bit. And that's, some of you will remember, we went to a place called Clarendon Villas as a church. Back earlier in the year, we had a whole ceiling in here ripped out and replaced. So we had to meet in a different place. And I was new to the staff. I'd been on staff for about 3 months at that point. Still very enthusiastic, still very keen, saying yes to most things. So when the opportunity came to organize our move from here to Clarendon Villas, obviously I said yes, because that's what I was saying to everything at the time. I've learnt, don't worry. There are two times that spring to mind. Obviously, we spent three or four months in that place, and it was a time where we saw God at work. But my main responsibility was getting us there and then holding us together a bit while we were there. And I just remember Bank Holiday Monday in here, before we left, Easter Monday it was, and we had I'd asked a few people to come and help. We had to take everything out. We had to be completely empty so that they could make as much mess and as much destruction as they wanted before they started putting the building back together. And 113 people showed up. I was just blown away by God's provision. I was quite nervous. I worked quite hard to try and make it as efficient as possible. But God just provided for me and for us as a church by making everyone show up that morning. It was a fantastic day. We had a lot of fun. I'm sure some of you were there. You might even remember it. It's just a real, really fantastic testimony of God's people coming together and really answering my prayers. And God answering my prayers. The other time was the first Sunday morning we were there. Like I said, I made a considerable amount of effort to get us there and to put the plus strategies and all those other things in place to make sure we get to be able to stand before the church on that first Sunday morning was a real blessing for me. Was a real privilege for me to be able to stand in front of church and say, well done. Thank you for coming with me. Thank you for listening when I asked you to step in. Thank you for, that was just a really significant time for me. That morning, just stood in front of you. This isn't something I do very often. You can probably tell by the way I'm babbling. But it was just a fantastic time for me to see how God, again, not only did he want to use me and use me to help this place to grow, help this place to continue in times of difficulty, this church, but also he allowed me blessing and privilege in that as well. And I'm very grateful to God for that. And I had many other answers to prayer this year, as I'm sure we all have, but those are just two of the things that came to mind as I was asked to share. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Great, Wendy. And just as Wendy's coming up, it might even be that you're one of those people who actually got connected with us as a church during that time at Clarendon Villas. And just say it's been great to see that kind of journey unfold. So,
hi. I've got notes in front of me because I'm quite nervous. And this subject I'm going to talk about, I could probably give testimony after testimony and probably be booted off after being here for a few hours. Simply put, after suffering from pretty severe pain and discomfort for months and months, I was finally diagnosed 4 years ago with something which is called lupus. It was a huge relief to actually know this isn't my imagination. Yes, there is really something wrong with me. But at the same time, it was a crushing blow. Medically speaking, for those who know anything about lupus, it's a genetic disorder. There is, medically speaking, no cure. I'm stuck with this for life. And not much is known about it, so it could get worse. It's not going to get better. That is what the simple facts that they do give you. But throughout this, I've had the blessing and the confidence and the peace of knowing that God has been with me through it all. Although I don't want it, although I don't like having it, God has allowed me to have it because he is using it to work through me. It has forced me to humble myself. It's forced me to step on my pride because I've had to ask to do the very simple, basic things which I cannot do. I've had to ask people to do. It's as simple as opening a bottle of water or carrying something, a mug of coffee, to my desk at work because sometimes that was too much physically for me to do. I have learned that it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help, even when it's a simple task. I have learned that slowing down and pacing myself has allowed me to stop and to consider God. His creation, his hugeness. I have learned the hard way, and I probably wouldn't have learned any other way, that he is always there, that he will not give me more than I can cope with, even though it feels like that some days. I know he is sovereign, and I've accepted that I'm a weak human being. I could go and give you specific details of all this, and please, if anybody wants to ask me, it's just, I don't feel it appropriate to go into all the details and all the bits and pieces. But what I do want to do, and this is the reason I'm standing here, is I want to thank God for allowing me to have what I have, to thank God that he saw something in me which he wanted to change, that somehow me, a sinful human being, he has seen something of value. And I cannot praise God enough for his word, because his word has carried me through, and his word will continue to carry me through. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
I just wanted to bring you a word about birthdays, because we have just celebrated the most well-known birthday that ever was. And I have thought quite a lot about birthdays. I know when mine is. I think you know when yours is. But I was thinking that God doesn't see years like we do. And the more I thought about birthdays, the more I realized that to God, every day is a birthday. His mercies are new every morning. And every day is a birthday. It's a new day for you. And every day there is a birthday present. You sometimes have to look for it, but it's always there. And I have found as I go on through my Christian life, even in the dark days, that if you keep your eyes open, because sometimes the birthday present is not always easy to find, but it's there if you look for it. Sometimes it's quite obvious, like a beautiful sunset or a letter from a friend or an unexpected phone call. But sometimes it's something very small, but it's always there, and God will always encourage you, because he loves to give. He's a giving God, and he just loves to give to his people. And so I would encourage you to look every day for God's present for today. As I say, he doesn't see years like we do. He is outside of time and space and everything else. But we are precious to him, and he gives us a present every day. And he's given me one today as well. So.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. That's great.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Max. And if you want to share something after Max, just do come forward. That's great.
Yeah, I've got a testimony written out. This is to just help me to stick to the shortest possible time.
These lovely people from Africa, I love it.
Yeah. I'm here to testify that God hears and answers prayer. My family, I guess we pray like any other family prays. However, there are outstanding events in my life where things were hard on the narrow road. It is from one of these incidents I'll be testifying from tonight. My story begins with Ochi's pregnancy. We'd gone to the midwife one afternoon. I'd taken an afternoon off at work, and Ochi had said she's got some stomach pains. And so I took it down to the midwife. According to the midwife, these pains might have been Braxton Hicks and contractions. And then she referred us to the Royal Sussex, where Ochi was checked and retained for an evening initially. A lot of people started praying as soon as they heard about this. I was just praying my usual everyday prayers. The pains got worse by day. Ochi was in unbelievable pain. I remember crying by her bedside one day, but I had to kind of hide it from Anthony, who was with me at the time. Ochi was bleeding and losing a lot of blood. And at the time, the baby wasn't a thing in our mind. We knew the baby was going to be due in January. And we didn't think all this pain was going to be actually bring the baby. I always seem to take prayer seriously when I know I'm definitely vulnerable. When I'm in affliction, I believe in prayer always, but this time my mind seemed to be visiting all sorts of places, and I kept thinking, what is going on with my wife? Honestly, God, you wouldn't bring her from Zimbabwe to die in UK at childbirth. That kind of caused me to seek God even more. I prayed particularly that no matter how long it takes for the pains to disappear, God will give me my wife and my son alive. I ask God for a sign, and I pray that if God comes through for me, I will tell people of this miracle of answered prayer. So on the 13th of September, 2008, this year actually, our latest edition, Aaron, was born just a little after midnight. I felt a lot of relief. There was a lot of answer to prayer there. I knew that answer was right before my eyes. And I've known since that day and the days before and the years before that, you know, God wants my life to be a testimony of his work. He answered my prayer, and he answered a lot of prayers that the people were praying here at church and back home in Zimbabwe. Thank you.
If you were here this morning, you know we had the privilege of dedicating little Aaron this morning. Very, very special. So this is Zen. Thanks, Zen, for coming and just sharing as well.
Sorry, I didn't know that I would have the opportunity like tonight. So I just quickly jot down some notes, because I just feel like I would like to share my journey with the Lord to you guys. But I would like to do it properly once, you know, so I can check my English grammar before.
Brilliant. You're amongst friends then.
I just want to say that ever since about 2.5 years ago, my daughter moved out to the States. So I was living by myself. And I, for the last 2.5 years, I experienced some personal problems as well. So I remember when Karen, my eldest daughter, called me and said, how are you? I said, well, not very well, but I'm coping. She'll say, Mom, this daughter never lived in England. She said, why don't you go back to Taiwan, where you belong? And she said, you know, why live in England by yourself in that big house? It's cold. Mom, why? I couldn't think a reason why you want to live there. I said, well, I have my church, I have my friends, I have a good job, and I'm not ready to move. Then my daughter said, when would you? I said, well, God will tell me. Okay, Mom, okay. Like, don't complain next time if you're not happy. Then, of course, I pray. I've been a Catholic. I never really prayed out loud. It's still a problem. But since this year, I mean, we have this slogan, so you're influenced, you pray. And sometimes you have to, because in the Bible study that everybody does. So you get better. And I prayed and I said, God, give me a guidance. And I just feel God is saying, well, you know, go home and look at it. See if you like. So I went home in March. Well, I try to go home every year. It can be expensive and, you know. So I went home in March. And I just feel everything's right. I just love it there. Who wouldn't? It's 30 degrees most of the time, and the food are great. I mean, we have all kinds of Chinese cuisines, and now Italian, French, everything. And it just, you know, I was surrounded and embraced by my family and friends. So I said to, I have 4 sisters living, one in Asia, 3, one in Hong Kong, 3 in Taiwan. So I said to my sister, oh, I think I'm going to move back. And they look very serious and say, well, you never look liked it here. You always like to live abroad. You're sure? I said, well, I enjoy being here. I love having afternoon tea with you guys. And then my sister said, well, we take time off. We all work. you know, you have to find a job here. You can't just come home. You will be disappointed. So they gave me a lot of warnings. So before I left, and then I said, okay, what I can do is I'll commit to come home twice a year instead of once a year. So of course, you know, I went home March. Now then it's past September. I become complacent because life is good. I have a very good job. I work for Bupa. I didn't supervise anybody. So I do a good job and I'm happy. And I have a lot of friends. I went to Wales in July. It was all, you know, very thrilled, everything. Life is good. But somehow I think God just kind of nudged me. So I went home in November. I remember before I went home, is this too long? Okay. I went home in November. And before I went, my sister said, well, what do you want to do? Write a list so we can be prepared. Two of my sisters are lecturing in university, so they are lecturing me. It's very hard going because the one who's 5 years younger than me, and she always tried to tell me off, you know. Okay, but I understand because she's a teacher. And I said, okay, here is the list. I said, okay, first I want to eat a lot of Chinese food. That go without saying, okay? I didn't even write that one. I said, I want to look for a church. That's very important because church is very important to me here. And I said, also, I think we'll play a very vital part there. If I don't find a good church, I won't go back. So I said, I'll find a church. Okay, that we can help. You can do it by yourself. I said, okay. I know where to go. I looked internet, everything. What else you want to do? Okay, I should look for a job. So job hunting. She said, okay, we'll make arrangement. And he said, what else? I said, okay, if I don't have anything to do, I go to university. So, okay, EMBA program. It's very popular in Taiwan called Executive MBA. I already have an MBA, but okay, just find something to do. So, you know, no Chinese is allowed to be at home, you know, at my age even. Okay, no early retirement. You have to do something. Okay, and what else? I'll check a Bible school, I said. I was hoping they would say, oh, come on, you know. My family are Catholic, so my second sister said, oh, there is a Bible school right behind me in my office. I said, okay, can you tell me the name? I'll visit them. Okay, I think there is other things I said I will do. Okay. Said, no more sightseeing, I said. I did enough in March. I said, thank you very much. And so I went home. Of course, I went to two church, and it's very strange. Because I thought, God can use me there definitely much more because I can speak the language. I went to a Chinese church, which I don't feel for it because I haven't been, I mean, I converted from Catholic to Christian here. So everything I learned, all the sermon I heard is in English. It's a bit odd. So it didn't feel like I belong. It's also a bit out of the way. But then I went to another church called Grace Baptist Church. I just love it. And we would sing a song like far and near. And I thought, is this near that far or far and near? You know, I get a bit confused. English is not what I want. But I just feel very good about it. I thought, yes, this is right, a church that I can come. Then amazing thing is I went to job hunting. And I have a very impressive CV as a Chinese woman. I've been assignment in different places. But when I showed it to them, I just feel like, and she said, oh, we have a post in Amsterdam. We have another post, Rotterdam. You'd be perfect for it. Because they also look for a branch in Spain and England. So, oh, no, I just don't feel like it. But I said, oh, okay, that sounds very interesting. I know I was lying. I have no desire to work that kind of work anymore. So I did my job hunting. I thought, okay, at least I did it. But then, of course, I went to the Bible school, and I just loved it. And they didn't say, oh, we want you. They didn't embrace me. They said, there is exam in June. I said, oh, what are you going to test me? Chinese, okay. English, I think I can manage. And Bible knowledge. Ooh, I thought, ooh. I said, oh, how? She says, oh, there's questions on internet you can check. Ooh, I think I failed most of them. You know, it's talk about years and peoples. And I said, and then I go back, I went back to ask them, you know, how can I make it up? And then so I can pass, you know, just like intensive course or something. Chinese like to do that. You know, when we do TOEFL and like your TEFL, you know, things like that. She said, no, it's not that important. We're just afraid that you won't be able to follow. I said, okay. I said, what's most important? And she said, the most important thing is if you get the calling, if you receive the calling from the Lord, you know, that will be your testimony. So I'm still not sure, but I know I got some kind of calling. For first thing is God is pushing me, guiding me to go back to Taiwan. That's for sure. That's the first calling I got. I'm praying if I can be his servant to spread the gospel in Taiwan. I can do much better job in Chinese. I guarantee you. If I make you laugh already, you know, I can do so much better in Chinese. And and I feel, I'm a bit scared because I think two things. One is I feel homesick. But I think ultimately the homesick is, I think once I return to Taiwan, I will still feel homesick because I think God put us in a hole that we're homesick for him and we're longing for him. So although I think I'm longing for my family on earth, but I think ultimately I'm longing for the Lord and I want to be his servant. I just hope I'm not too old to do his work. And most of the Old Testament, I don't know. And I struggle to know the New Testament, but the good thing is I did buy a Chinese Bible. It's great because I can read one chapter per night, you know, like Revelation. I refer to Chinese and English Bible knowledge, so I'm doing well. So all I'm saying is trusting the Lord and pray, and he will guide you. I never had any doubts that he won't guide me. I just don't have the patience. I say, well, when have you forgotten me? You know, have you looking after everybody else but me? But, you know, here is me, and he did look after me. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Zen. That's really, really special.
You know, it's been wonderful to just talk to Zen and over this last month or two and hear her story, hear how God's guiding her. And what I said to Zen is that my heart's desire for Zen is to be the place where God is going to use her most strategically for the extension of his kingdom. And I said that's true for you, Zen, but it's true for everyone in the church. So that's my heart's longing, is that we would be as effective as we can be for him. And I tell you what, watch out Taiwan and China, because this lady in this country has been so effective at reaching her neighbors and her colleagues for Christ. And, you know, I'm really excited just to see and journey what God's going to keep doing through you, Zen. Why don't we all just stand to our feet, get some air in our lungs. As Simone comes forward, she's just going to share in a moment. So just stand and then take a deep breath and then sit back down again. And then just put your hands together for Simone as she just comes and shares briefly. And can be shorter than Zen's. It can be a lot shorter. Like just, you know, I said to people, it could be a sentence, and that's fine. So here we go. Longer than that. Okay, Simone.
When Chris was talking about moving from here to Clarendon, it brought back memories for me because I'd only joined the Sunday, Easter Sunday. So I thought, oh, I've come to this church and they're going. And I thought, shall I go with them? Shall I stay? And I'm very lucky in the sense that I went with them, and a decision I've never regretted. Jesus has done a lot for me in the few months that I've been coming, and one thing that sticks in my mind recently, I don't know if you know, but my job, I work for an insolvency practitioner, and in this time we're very busy, and I try to reconcile it with the fact that I'm trying to help people. And one case has come to the fore where I did have a faith and career crisis, and I asked God for his help, and it's actually through Philip gave me the answer that I needed, and I just want to say thank you.
Thanks, Simone. It's been wonderful to see what God's done in your life this year. And maybe just as we continue to continue with our service and to praise him, You know, that there might even be stories from your work situation or something like that you think, yeah, you know, God's done something there. So maybe, June, we could just sing one verse of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Just the first verse again, and then we're going to take up our offering after that. So let's just stand and sing together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Okay, well, Graham is just going to come now. And I've asked Graham, or Philip has asked Graham, if he would just share briefly just some of, this year has been quite a year of saints going to glory. And so Graham's just going to remind us of a few of those people and how God has used their lives. And Matt and Charlotte, if you can exchange with someone on security, that would be great. And get ready to share something as well. Just if you don't know, this is Graham. He's one of our elders and one of the senior leaders in the church, and always a great person. If you're after the service thing, I would love someone just to pray with me through something. Come and find Graham. I sometimes do that. And he's a great person to get some prayer from.
Thank you. Yes, as David has said, I've been asked to share about some of those who've gone to a better place. And is there a better place than Holland Road? Yes, there is. Heaven. And just going through it in chronological order, and some of these names, I realize they won't mean much to some of you here. But nevertheless, it's just good to remind ourselves of these people and of their lives. And in March, it was the turn of somebody called Nellie Dombrowski. And the thing, obviously, what I share is sort of my personal remembrances of them. And there are other people I know here who know these people and probably better than I do. But I think Nancy, I would say about her faithfulness. She was always in her place with her husband, Ben. She used to sit at the back in the pews. And she was always here. Until such times as illness prevented her from coming. And it was sort of spasmodic, and then eventually she wasn't able to come at all. But she was of a generation, I wouldn't sort of describe her as prim or proper, but sort of certain standards of behavior. And I just remember once I was at Holmbush, and that's a place where there's a large Tesco's and a Marks and Spencer's. And there's a big foyer in the front of these two stores. And I was there one day, and I saw Nancy and her husband, Ben, and they were sitting, eating ice cream cones. And they obviously didn't see me, and I came up to them and said, hello. And they nearly fell off their seat, and they were just so embarrassed that there they were, like children, with their ice cream cones. And I said, you know, it's fine, it's great, it's wonderful to see you doing this. But, you know, they were of that sort of generation. But as I say, I think Nancy I would regard as one who was faithful. The next one was Bernie Loma. And I think Bernie probably never got over the death of his wife, who had died the previous year of cancer. And I remember us going, David, to pray for Anne, his wife. And she knew that she hadn't got long to live. And she said the one thing that she would love to see before she died was Bernie being baptized. And so we sort of challenged Bernie about that. And he was obviously very hesitant. But David then explained to him that he didn't need to say anything. And that seemed to release him. And he was baptized. And so Anne got that desire. And so that was very special. And as I say, Bernie clearly really didn't get over her death, and he followed her this year. In the same month of April, Betty Longman. Now, if any of you knew Betty Longman, you will know that she was someone who had very low self-esteem. She was a missionary out in Africa, but whatever you said to her about the gifts that she had, she was always putting herself down. But she was very good to us, to Margaret and myself. She would often give us lifts. But towards the end, when she was really getting past driving, whenever we got in her car, we were always praying that we would arrive safely. And I don't know if you've heard the story about the man who knew that his mother was driving on a certain motorway, and he rang his mother on her mobile phone. It was in the days when it wasn't an offence to have your mobile phone in your car and or to use it. And he said to her, "Do be careful, Mother. I've heard on the radio that there is a motorist driving the wrong way along the carriageway." And his mother replied, "There's not one, there's hundreds of them." And I say that because once, you'll think I'm always at Homebush, but Betty was taking me along a road which goes parallel to the A27, and it was a sort of slip road, and we were going onto the roundabout, and she was going to turn right on this roundabout, obviously going in the wrong direction, but thankfully I was able to persuade her that she needed to go the other way, and so we survived. But as I say, Betty was one who had very low self-esteem, but a lovely person, and I think somebody who I would describe as very kind. And then in May, there were two ladies. Margaret Buffard was the first one. She was a missionary out in Spain, and Margaret had a great sense of humour, which never left her. And if any of you went to her funeral service, you know it was an absolute riot. It really was. There were just so many funny stories about her. And she was such a lovely person. And it was sad when she became quite frail. But she always retained her sense of humour. And then Bunty Bond. Well, Bunty was someone who was a great person at getting us to make representations in respect to various things, writing to our MPs, writing to Parliament, writing to our local council about all sorts of issues. And at the time, I was church secretary, and in those days, we didn't have a printed notice sheet. The secretary, and that was me, we gave out notices from the front, and nearly every Sunday, Bunty came, and she was badgering me to give out about writing to so-and-so about this and that. And I almost sort of dreaded seeing her come in my direction. But she was really great in encouraging us to do this, and she would supply information to let us know how to write to people, just the kind of thing that CARE and the Evangelical Alliance and other organisations do today when they're necessary to make petitions. And she was just so great at that. So I just remember Bunty for that reason. And then in July, Jean Fennell went to be with her Lord. She was a large lady, but she had a really large heart. And I think Jean must have spent most of her life in the kitchen because she was constantly baking. And I remember how when she and her husband were involved in Friendship Center, and she used to arrive here very early in the morning, and goodness knows what time they got out, because she brought in all sorts of lovely cakes and things. And she was just so wholehearted and serving in that very practical way. And it was just amazing what she cooked. And then in October, Beryl Buckle went to her reward. Now, I know that an awful lot's been said about Beryl and has been recorded in our Fellowship magazine. And I think that the one thing that I think of Beryl is she was somebody who was very outspoken, and sometimes she said things to you and you felt really uncomfortable, but more often than not you knew that she was right. And if she did say the wrong thing, she was always the first to say sorry and to ask for forgiveness. But I think the one thing that I would say about Beryl is that she was a very kind person. And then finally in November, it was the turn of Wyn Potter. And I didn't really know Wyn that well, except again when I was church secretary, because she was secretary of the Tuesday afternoon ladies' meeting. And she was constantly badgering me to give out about ladies' fellowship. And, you know, I often had to say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I've got other things that I need to do. But she was very good at that. And she was really quite bossy. And it was at her funeral that I learned, and I didn't know this before, that she was a teacher at White Hawk. And so a lot of things began to fall into place. But she was one who was faithful in the responsibility she had as Secretary of the Ladies' Fellowship and in other things which she did. And so I would just honour these people. I just want to conclude with a brief testimony. Well, I hope it's brief. In our Bible readings, Margaret and I have been, in the recent days, going through John's Gospel and chapter 1. And you probably know John's Gospel doesn't speak about the Nativity at all. First of all, John the Baptist comes on the scene without any introduction, and it's the same with Jesus. It just says there was a man sent by God whose name was John, and he was baptizing in the Jordan. And he was being attacked by the, or challenged rather, by the religious leaders, asking why he was doing this. And then it goes on, and I just want to read some verses. And the first one is verse 29. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then a few verses down, it says, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" And then in verse 43, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God.'" And then it speaks about Andrew introducing his brother to Jesus. And I've got to the stage now where I can look back over 75 years, and that's pretty frightening. But as I look back, it's just amazing what God has done in my life. And the most amazing thing for me is that when I was at school, somebody who I didn't know invited me along to Crusaders, and it was through Crusaders at one of their holidays that I gave my heart to Christ. And it's just amazing when I think of that, because so often, and obviously Andrew brought his brother Peter, so often it's we introduce those we know, our relations and friends. But God used somebody who didn't know me, who just came and said, do you do anything on Sunday afternoons? And I said, no. And I got invited to Crusaders. And it was through them, their holiday, that I became a Christian. And then I think back of how when I left school and I had to do my national service, and I spent most of my time out in Egypt, and God was with me there. And then when I came back, he provided me with work. And then he brought me to this church. I didn't actually come to the services here, but to a midweek meeting that was open to everybody. And it was there that I met Margaret. And so God provided me with a wonderful wife. And I've got a wonderful son and a daughter. And a son-in-law and daughter-in-law. And some lovely grandchildren. And even before that, God provided us with a home in Hove. When we first got married, we didn't think that we'd be able to afford to live in the middle of Hove. We thought we'd sort of be on the outskirts somewhere. But God provided in a remarkable way. And so it's gone on. And although, you know, by UK standards, we're not rich, God has provided more than our needs. And I can just acknowledge God's faithfulness, as no doubt those that I've just been talking about would acknowledge too. But I just want to conclude with one thing, and that is what I have discovered, that as it says in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, God honors those who honor him. The verse was that was given to Margaret and me when we were married was when Joshua was speaking towards the end of his life, and he challenged the Israelites, and he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's what we sought to do. And although I haven't been the good husband that I should be, although I haven't been a good father as I should be, although I haven't been a good grandfather as I should be, although I haven't been a good employee as I should have been, and often I've messed up and I've sinned, but God has been good. And I believe that's because we have tried to honor him. I was a leader at Crusaders, and often at weekends I was preparing and at night, and so I didn't see an awful lot of my children. And but I believe that because I was seeking to honor God, that God took care of my family. Now, I'm not saying that we should do rubbish things, but I believe that if we truly seek to honor God, then he will take care of our family, our loved ones, those we care about. So that's what I'd like to leave you with. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. That was very powerful, and a real privilege to just hear and hear of those stories. So many of them. Many of them served here for 50 years. You know, that's a long time. And I just want people here to know that, when people do that kind of stuff, it's worth just marking it and honoring it. And as I think about things that I'm thankful for, one of the things I'm really thankful for is the people here in the church. The people that God's brought, and even this year, the people that God's brought in wonderful ways. Now, time is running with us, and I know Matt and Nick are keen to share something as well. Can I encourage you both to keep it really brief? And Nick, do you want to just go first, and then Matt? And what I'd love everyone to do is just think of something, as these guys share, that you want to thank God for. And what we're going to do is, after they've come, I'm going to read a verse, which is our verse for the year. And then we're going to sing a song. And in that song, it's a song about "Now Thank We All Our God." There's three verses. And we're going to have that section, then this section, then this section. Come up here and just write down something you want to thank God for. Just one thing. It might just be a name, or it might be something he's done. It might be something like just Wales, or, you know. And as that's going on, as we're singing, just write down those things. And it would be, I think, great just to have that in that song like that. So Nick first, then Matt. And then we're going to sing that song. Okay? Everyone still with me? Say, give us a wave. Great. They're all with you, Nick. So here we go. Just do share what God's put in your heart.
Thanks. Thank you. My name is Nick, and I am from Romania. Yeah. Okay. First, I want to say thank you so much, because I am standing in front of you. And most of you can ask yourself why I'm here, and why I have this privilege to stay in front of you, because 3 years ago I proclaimed Jesus as a savior in my life, and I am sure he saved me, and that's why I'm here in front of you to say that. I hear all these stories, and I thank God, and I am happy to hear all that. And I was thinking to say about the word adventure, because a month ago I quit my job, and God put in our prayer to pray what He wants us to do and how to work in His will. So this word adventure is very nice. If you look in movies, Indiana Jones and blah, 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 it's very nice. But adventure with God is brilliant. It's more nice than movies, than our dreams. So the first thing is to abandon our hearts in the hands of God so He can come and lead us in His adventure. So the Bible is full of adventure. So the first thing I wanna speak about the Jeliah, the first Kings or Second Kings. How Jeliah has a brilliant, brilliant adventure with God. And on the end of the day of Jeliah, when he go up, when God took him, someone saw all this adventure with God, he don't walk and say, Jeliah, okay, you go to God now, God will take you, and I will go away. So what happening? We can see, I don't know how is his name in English, but in my language it is Elisei.
Elisha.
Yeah. So this guy, it been brilliant guy. He saw how much God cared about our souls. And He like us to see every day and jump on His adventure. So He put in my heart, and I know all of us, so we can follow the perfect adventure with Him. It's difficult life for us Christians. We can see stories. We can hear them. It's very difficult to carry the cross until the end. But God never will let us down. And I pray for every day so God can work in our spiritual life and to build us perfect in righteousness before Him, so we can end nice with a nice adventure and nice testimony. So I hope everyone will enjoy an adventure with God every day, and His Spirit can fulfill your life on the earth and on the heaven. Thank you so much and for the time.
Amen. Yeah, as I watch Nick and Alina over here from Romania, I see that they live out that adventure with God, and I would say amen. You know, living life with God is a great adventure. You read Elijah or Elisha and you see just that. So Matt, do you wanna still come and share something? Even if it's just God answers my prayer. Thank you.
God answered my prayer, thank you. Well, He does, and you know, God is gracious, isn't He? And if you'd asked me this time 2.5 years ago whether I'd be up here today talking about prayer, I don't know what I would have done, but I certainly wouldn't be up here talking about prayer because I didn't pray that much. But actually, over the last year, in fact, last 2 years, God's really spoke to me in that area, and you know, really, really prayed a lot more, and that's led me to leaving my work, and Charlotte as well, to do a time team to come for 10 months. And yeah, it's just been an amazing time. And you know what? We just lift small things to God as well as big things. And we've seen a lot of provision all the way through this time. So yeah, I'm just going to say that's great news. And we're just sort of continue to pray all the time, especially about the small things. And you know what? As a time team, we write a little book each week. And we just put in there the small things we're asking God to pray, you know, for prayer for. And you know what? Every week we see something answered one way or the other. Cheers.
Thanks, Matt. That's great. Dear Father, thank You for Your mercy and the salvation You have given us in Jesus Christ. Please forgive us for all our sins and shortcomings. Draw us to you and begin a new work of grace in all of us. Make us the people you want us to be. Fill our churches with your fresh wind and fresh fire. Break our pride, soften our hearts, and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Oh God, do all this so that the name of Jesus will be exalted throughout the earth. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Thank you, everyone.